You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to the Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. I'm Allie Bruce with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include President Biden is flip-flopping on calling immigrants illegals, Russia is voting for their president, and Senator Bob Menendez is considering running for re-election as an independent. Here's your national news recap for the week of March 10th. The White House insists President Biden did not apologize for using the word illegal in connection to the rape and murder of Laken Riley. Biden told MSNBC he regrets he used the word illegal when talking about the man who allegedly killed a Georgia college student and should have called him undocumented. After he made the remark during his State of the Union speech, Biden took heat from top Democrats for using the term. Republicans now accuse Biden of focusing on words rather than Riley and the immigration crisis. But Monday, the White House says Biden never actually apologized. Former President Trump has officially posted bond in his civil defamation case in New York. His lawyer, Alina Haba, filed the $91.63 million bond Thursday after it was approved by a judge earlier this week. The bond protects Trump from attempts by writer E. Jean Carroll to collect the damages while the case makes its way through the appeals process. The case centered around statements Trump made in 2019 about rape allegations Carroll made against Trump. In January, a jury ordered Trump to pay Carroll $83.3 million in damages for the comments. A spike in illegal immigrants from China coming across the southern border is raising national security concerns. Air Force's General Gregory Geo, who heads U.S. Northern Command, was asked about it Thursday in a Senate hearing. Northern Command is part of the Homeland Defense, and he says there have been many briefings about Chinese migrants. The biggest concern, he says, is the possibility that there are bad actors mixed in with those seeking asylum from the Chinese Communist Party. There are more than 21,000 Chinese migrants caught at the southern border in the last 4 months. Former Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin is putting together a bid to buy TikTok. He told CNBC Thursday that he's building an investor group to acquire the popular video app from ByteDance. This comes after the House voted Wednesday to approve a bill that would force the China-based company to sell the app or have the app banned in the U.S. Mnuchin says he thinks the legislation should pass and that TikTok should be owned by a U.S. business. He added, "There's no way that the Chinese would ever let a U.S. company own something like this in China." New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu will campaign for Donald Trump, even though he's been a critic of the former president and supported Nikki Haley in the primary. The governor told reporters Wednesday, "It's not just about supporting Trump, it's about supporting a Republican administration in the White House." Sununu predicts a big voter turnout in New Hampshire, but acknowledges he doesn't know what impact a third-party candidate or other factors could have on the outcome. House Democrats want more federal funding for cities and states dealing with an influx of migrants. Massachusetts Congresswoman Lori Trahan and Colorado Congresswoman Diana DeGette wrote a letter to the House Subcommittee on Homeland Security seeking $3 billion for federal emergency management agency shelter programs. 18 other House Democrats signed the letter. The top Republican in the Senate is pushing back against his counterpart's criticism of Israel and calling for new elections in the country. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell called it grotesque and hypocritical for Majority Leader Chuck Schumer to call for the removal of elected leaders in Israel. He went on to say the Democratic Party has an anti-Israel problem. This after Schumer called Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu an obstacle to peace in the Israel-Hamas war during a scathing speech on the Senate floor. He called for the Israeli government to hold new elections, warning that Israel risked becoming an international pariah under Netanyahu's leadership due to a mounting civilian death toll in Gaza. House Speaker Mike Johnson said the comments were highly inappropriate and just plain wrong. Johnson emphasized that Israel is in an extensive battle for its very survival. The father to one of the children killed in the Uvalde school shooting has started a protest outside of the town's police headquarters. Brett Cross is furious that a city funding investigation of the massacre absolved the officers of any wrongdoing. The report, done by a former Austin cop, has divided the community. Some feel it was a whitewash. Cross is leading a group that is calling for police officers to be fired for failing to storm a classroom when they arrived. A total of 19 students and two teachers were killed in the worst school shooting in Texas history. Pressure is building on House Speaker Mike Johnson to put a sweeping national security package on the floor for a vote. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell warned Thursday that withholding critical weapons for Ukraine has only emboldened Russian President Vladimir Putin. He said it's time for the House to take up the Senate-passed bill and finish the job. The bill includes $60 billion for Ukraine, as well as aid for Israel and Taiwan. Johnson has been reluctant to take up the bill and has reportedly suggested providing aid in the form of a loan or lend-lease program. Texas has a near total ban on abortions, but the law includes exemptions for when a mother's life is in danger. For the first time, the Texas Medical Board is dipping their toes into the debate. They will discuss the topic in a meeting next week, according to a newly released schedule. The board has been under pressure from activists who want clarification on when exactly an abortion would be permitted under state law. The armorer on the set of Rust has her sentencing date for the fatal on-set shooting. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed faces up to 18 months behind bars and will find out her fate on April 15th. She was charged in January 2023 with involuntary manslaughter and later evidence tampering. The jury reached its verdict quickly last week, finding her guilty of the first charge and innocent on the second. Cinematographer Helena Hutchins died in 2021 from star Alec Baldwin's gun. Baldwin is set to go on trial for involuntary manslaughter in July. I'm Allie Bruce, and that was your national news.
I'm Gavin Trutzenbach with your international news report. Our first international story comes from Associated Press. As Vladimir Putin heads for another six-year term as Russia's president, there's little electoral drama in the race. What he does after he crosses the finish line is what's drawing attention, and for many observers, provoking anxiety. The voting that concludes on Sunday is all but certain to allow Putin to remain in office until 2030, giving him a full three decades of leading Russia as either president or prime minister. The heft of that long tenure and the thorough suspension of effective domestic opposition voices gives Putin a very strong, and perhaps unrestrained, hand. That position is bolstered by the Russian economy's surprising resilience despite wide-ranging Western sanctions following the invasion of Ukraine. It's also strengthened by Moscow's incremental but consistent battlefield advances in recent months, flagging support for military aid to Kiev from the United States and other quarters, and growing skepticism in some Western countries over more progressive social attitudes that echoes Putin's push for traditional values. Putin, in short, would head into a new term with few obvious restraints, and that could manifest itself quickly in major new actions. Bryn Rosenfeld, a Cornell University professor who studies post-communist politics, said the following in a commentary. Russia's presidential election is not so important as what will come after. Putin has often postponed unpopular moves until after elections. Probably the most unpopular move he could make at home would be to order a second military mobilization to fight in Ukraine. The first, in September 2022, sparked protests, and a wave of Russians fled the country to avoid being called up. However unpopular a second mobilization might be, it could also mollify relatives of the soldiers who were drafted 18 months ago. Some in Russia believe it could happen. Our next international story comes from Reuters. Thousands in Israel took to the streets on Thursday in two separate protests, one demanding an immediate release of hostages from Gaza, and another calling for drafting ultra-Orthodox Jewish men into the military. The protests were public displays of growing divisions in Israeli society and politics 5 months into the Gaza war. Protesters calling for the release of hostages marched from a Tel Aviv square, carrying enlarged images of women held in Gaza, briefly blocking the highway at one point. Israel believes 134 hostages remain in Gaza following a Hamas-led attack on its southern communities on October 7th, in which 1,200 people were killed and 253 captured. Since then, Israel's air, sea, and ground assault on blockaded Gaza has killed more than 31,000 people and wounded over 72,880, according to Gaza health authorities. In a statement released by his office following a meeting with representatives of the families of the hostages earlier on Thursday, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said his government was committed to returning everyone, but the Hamas was still clinging to unacceptable demands in negotiations. Hamas has blamed Israel for thwarting process in ceasefire talks. Our final international story comes from BBC. Outside an Australian community center, local election candidates make last-ditch efforts to win over people who are filing into the makeshift polling station. Most voters are too preoccupied trying to dodge the flyer-thrusting politicians to realize that this is not your ordinary campaign for a seat on the City of Gold Coast Council. Incumbent councillor Ryan Bailden-Lumsden is seeking re-election, but concealed beneath his beige trousers is the outline of an electronic ankle bracelet, a device which allows police to track his movements. The 31-year-old is charged with murdering his stepfather, Robert Lumsden, at the family's home in August last year. Further details about the proceedings can't be reported at the moment for legal reasons, but his lawyers have indicated at a pre-trial hearing that he will plead not guilty. But because a Queensland Supreme Court judge granted him bail, he is allowed to campaign ahead of Saturday's election, becoming perhaps the only Australian in recent history fighting both a political battle and a murder charge simultaneously. Deciding to stand for public office again has been called selfish, strange, entitled, and unbelievable. But when approached by the BBC outside the polling booth at Runaway Bay, Mr. Bailden-Lumsden is defiant. "I believe democracy is the most important thing, and voters always get it right," he says. "So if voters want me, they'll choose to re-elect me. And if voters don't want me, they'll vote for someone else." But few think it is that simple. After being charged, Mr. Bailden-Lumsden was suspended from the council while still receiving his full salary of $160,000 Australian dollars, or about $105,000 US dollars, a year. Critics say this means almost 50,000 people in his area have not had a voice on the local council. One of his rival candidates, Joe Wilkinson, says, "We've had issues from parks simply not being mowed, right through to major development applications going through our community, without actually having someone sitting at the table to represent us." If Mr. Bailden-Lumsden were to be re-elected, it's far from clear if or when he would be able to resume office. I'm Gavin Trutzenbach, and that was your International News Report.
I'm Justin Locke with your local news. New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez is reportedly considering running for re-election in November as an independent. NBC News reports he's preparing to collect petitions to seek re-election as an independent. The Democrat is facing federal charges for allegedly accepting bribes from a foreign government. Both he and his wife have pleaded not guilty in the case. He's rejected calls to resign, but has yet to confirm whether he's running for re-election as his term is up in January. Multiple pro-Palestinian protesters are under arrest after storming the New York Times Midtown headquarters. The rally came just hours after an early morning demonstration at the paper's printing plant in Queens. There are reports that arrests were made after dozens of people prevented trucks from accessing the facility by blocking roads with debris around 1 a.m. Some held signs that read, "Stop the presses, Free Palestine." The Times said it didn't expect much of a disruption in distribution. Then around 10 a.m., around 100 protesters converged on the lobby of the Times' main office, resulting in several more arrests. Many held signs with similar messaging as others handed out phony copies of the paper. A Queens man is now charged in connection with a crash that left an 8-year-old boy dead and his 10-year-old brother injured. Police say 52-year-old Jose Barchia was stopped at a red light behind another car at the intersection of 100th Street and 31st Avenue in East Elmhurst Wednesday afternoon. Witnesses say when the light turned green, Barchia crossed over the double yellow line ahead of the car in front of him, hitting Byron Palomino Arroyo and his brother in the crosswalk. The boy died at the scene while his brother was hospitalized with a wrist injury. Barchia, who's been charged with criminally negligent homicide, has reportedly been charged at least four times in the past with motor vehicle offenses. A New Jersey school principal is denying charges accusing him of assaulting a student. Frank Sanchez, the Columbia High School principal in the South Orange Maplewood School District, was in court this week. He entered a not guilty plea to second-degree assault and endangered the welfare of a child charges. Prosecutors allege he pushed, shoved, and pulled the victim, a student at the school in March of last year. Sanchez has been on administrative leave. Upgrades are coming to voting machines in Lehigh County. On Wednesday night, the Lehigh County Board of Commissioners approved more than $500,000 in funding to upgrade voting equipment and to train poll workers. The funds will support the voter registration advancement project, which will replace high-speed scanning equipment, upgrade software, and batteries, and more. Commissioner Ron Bittler says Lehigh County has fair and tight elections, but the upgrades will work to make voting systems even tighter. The MTA is highlighting a number of moves being made to increase subway safety in New York City. New York City Transit President Richard Davi testified as its city council hearing today about an increased outreach effort to deal with those experiencing mental health issues in the system. He says a pilot program is being expanded later this year to add more teams of mental health experts and MTA police to get the mentally ill and the subway help and supportive housing. He also says subway cars and stations are being equipped with better lighting and more security cameras. New Jersey lawmakers are considering a bill that provide mortgage relief to homeowners impacted by Hurricane Ida. The 2021 September storm swept through several New Jersey counties, devastating several downtown areas just as the region started making a comeback from COVID-19. The Appropriations Committee is reviewing New Jersey Assemblywoman Yvonne Mary Lopez's legislation that will provide mortgage payment relief and foreclosure protections for certain homeowners who still need help. Some residents say they need help, and the measure would give them room to breathe while allowing them to make necessary repairs to their homes. A multi-billion dollar casino wants to settle in New York City's Hudson Yards. Wynn Resorts partnered with real estate giant related companies to release renderings of a two-phase project estimated to cost $12 billion. The design features an 80-story tower with views of the Hudson River, offering visitors a casino and hotel. Office buildings, apartments, a public school, and a nearly 6-acre park is also included in the design, which will be built on the land once considered a graveyard for Long Island Railroad trains. Several casino operators across New York City, Long Island, and the Lower Hudson Valley are bidding for up to 3 state licenses that are being offered in the downstate region. I'm Justin Locke, and that was your local news.
I'm Aiden Dougherty with your Rowan News. President Ali A. Houchmand and Rowan University are greatly impacting the economy as Rowan University has a $2.9 billion annual impact on New Jersey's economy. President Houchmand believes it is for many reasons, including the renowned Rowan Boulevard.
The Rowan Boulevard is a 26 acres land. It used to generate only $110,000 of rateable for the borough of Glassboro. 26 acres of housing, most of them boarded up, a messed up place, generating 110,000 revenue. Today, that Rowan Boulevard generates at least $5 million of taxation for the borough of Glassboro. One of the very, very few boroughs in the state of New Jersey that has surplus.
Students and visitors spent $195 million in the region, which generated $7 million in tax revenue. President Houchmand speaks about the powers of a public institution and the impacts it can have in the community.
These are the impacts of a public institution. Now, with all the plans that we have to build into the future, we have built almost $1.4 billion of infrastructure over the past 10 years. We have almost the same amount over the next 10 years. All of these creates full-time, part-time, temporary, all sorts of jobs. And it, again, speaks volume to the power of public institutions.
With this, President Houchmand believes that the state and local communities can look at Rowan as an economic engine.
Therefore, it's always, in my opinion, it's a very wise thing for any state to really look at the education institutions as an economic engine, because we are here to stay. We have been in existence for 100 years. We will be in existence for another 200 years. We are not going to go away.
President Houchmand also believes they are adding to society, but in a different way with students.
And we are an institution where we bring young minds, 16, 17 year olds who leave their home for the first time. We bring them in here and turn them into productive citizens. That's a powerful thing that we do for the society.
In what Rowan University is calling the University of the Future plan, they outlined $1.5 billion in future expansion projects, and they are also expecting a 70% increase in enrollment going forward. I'm Aiden Dougherty, and that was your Rowan News.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up this week's national, international, and local news. We are going to take a quick break. Up next, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Allie Bruce, along with the Rowan Radio News team.
I'm Justin Locke for the Rowan Report with your news from the professional sports world. After a tough loss for Rowan men's basketball team to Hampton Sydney last weekend, awards have poured in for Rowan and even their coaching staff. This past Thursday, first-year head coach Eric Brennan was named D3Hoops.com Region 4 Coach of the Year after leading the Profs to a 22-8 record and an appearance in the Sweet 16 in the 2024 NCAA tournament. Brennan and his staff secured NJAC Coaching Staff of the Year to go along with it. Moving on to player awards on Wednesday, star forward Jazeer Knoll was chosen to the National Association of Basketball Coaches All-America first team for his second consecutive season. Knoll is the only Prof in school history to receive first team honors twice and the 11th Rowan player to receive this distinction. The senior forward joins Matt Burns, Thomas Baker, and Rob Scott as the only Profs to earn All-America first team honors. Jazeer also was recently named as the NABC District 4 Player of the Year for the second straight season, as well as first team All-District. Lastly, Knoll was selected to the D3Hoops.com All-Region 4 first team for the second straight year, and his teammate point guard Khalif Mears was named to the All-Region 4 second team after his first season with the Profs, and winning NJAC Co-Defensive Player of the Year, averaging 19 points per game and 3.5 steals. Congrats to all the pros for their honors. Let's move on to the chaos of NFL free agency, where a ton of players have moved to different teams, especially at the running back position. The big name that got everything started and shook up the league a bit is running back Saquon Barkley, moving on for the New York Giants to play for the divisional rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles former running back DeAndre Swift signed with the Chicago Bears, so they had hold of Phil and signed the Penn State star for 3 years for $37.75 million. Some other running backs that made some splashes early at the start of the free agency were former Titan Derrick Henry signing a 2-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens, former Los Angeles Chargers Austin Eckler going cross-country to join the Washington Commanders, and Josh Jacobs, who was previously with the Las Vegas Raiders, going up north to join Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers in the backfield. The Eagles continued to make moves after signing Saquon by re-signing one of their old friends, cornerback C.J. Gardner-Johnson, to a 3-year deal after having a 1-year stint with Detroit Lions last season. They also got the defensive line help by re-signing veteran edge Brandon Graham to a 1-year deal. Also was signing free agent Bryce Huff with a successful 10-sack season with the New York Jets. The Texans made some big splashes with signings and a trade some weren't expecting. Former Bengals running back Joe Mixon joins Houston for a 7th-round pick after having 1,000 rushing yards in 4 of his 7 successful seasons with Cincinnati. Joining forces with Mixon on the other side of the ball is former Viking Danielle Hunter for 2 years and $49 million. And speaking of former Vikings, quarterback Kirk Cousins signed a 4-year, $180 million contract with the Atlanta Falcons, who also got wide receiver Darnell Mooney to join forces with the veteran quarterback. A couple of quarterbacks outside of Cousins have also been on the move, with Russell Wilson signing a 1-year deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers after 2 seasons with the Broncos on Monday night. Former number 2 overall pick Mac Jones was also traded to the Jacksonville Jaguars in exchange for a 2024 6th-round pick. And to round things off, on Thursday afternoon, the Washington Commanders have made plenty of additions but decided to trade away their quarterback, Sam Howell, to the Seattle Seahawks, most likely to leave some space for them to draft a quarterback with their upcoming number 2 overall pick in this year's NFL draft next month. I was Justin Locke for the Rowan Report with your news from the professional sports world.
Hi, I'm Megan Steckler with your Rowan Report business update. Wall Street is closing with stocks lower. This comes after hotter-than-expected inflation data was released on Thursday. February's producer price index came in at 0.6% against projections of 0.3%. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 137 points to 38,905, the S&P 500 lost 14 points to 51-50, and the NASDAQ dropped by 49 points to 16-128. Spending at retailers is rebounding while gas prices are on the rise. Retail sales at stores in the U.S. went up 0.6% in February from the previous month. That's up from January's over 1% decline, according to the Commerce Department. But sales last month were up across most categories, mostly at home improvement stores, where they jumped by over 2%. Money dysmorphia is the new term used to describe the distorted view of one's finances, and apparently 29% of Americans experience it. 1/4 of consumers feel less satisfied with the amount of money they have because of social media. According to Credit Karma, money dysmorphia is even more prevalent among younger generations. Roughly 43% of Gen Z and 41% of millennials struggle with comparisons to others and feel behind financially. Experts say you can address it by spending less time on social media and removing any payment details stored online to help create purchase hurdles, which force you to think through buying decisions. Automakers are scaling back or delaying their electric vehicle plans as EV euphoria seems to be cooling. A return to a mixed offering of vehicles, gas-powered hybrids, and fully electric, are what major auto manufacturers like Ford, GM, and Stellantis are all pivoting towards. While none of those automakers have officially announced changes to their long-term EV goals, there's been a notable shift in messaging. High interest rates, surging raw material costs, and EVs becoming more expensive than gas-powered cars has slowed their adoption rate. According to Cox Automotive, the available inventory of EVs in the U.S. has ballooned to 136 days compared to 78 days for the overall industry. I'm Megan Steckler, and this has been your Business News Report.
I'm Aiden Doherty with your entertainment news. Raspberry's frontman, Eric Carmen, is dead at the age of 74. Carmen's wife, Amy, broke the news on the singer's website, saying he passed away in his sleep over the weekend. Carmen rose to fame with the band following their hit Go All the Way, establishing himself as a solo artist following the group's breakup in the mid-70s. He had a successful solo career, marked by his hit song All By Myself. Carmen continued success as a solo artist, with other hits including Never Gonna Fall in Love Again and Hungry Eyes. An official cause of death is unknown. Influencer Andrew Tate is detained in Romania over sex offense charges in the United Kingdom, along with his brother Tristan. That's according to a statement from Romanian police. Tate and his brother were presented to the public prosecutor of the Bucharest Court of Appeal, who ordered their detention for 24 hours. Tate's spokesperson called it a bewildering revival of decade-old accusations. The brothers said in court they do not want to be returned to the UK. They are awaiting trial in the country on separate charges, including human trafficking and rape. Dolly Parton thinks a cover of one of her most famous songs could be on Beyoncé's country album. The country music icon told Knox News she believes Beyoncé has recorded a version of Jolene for Act 2. Parton says she's very excited about it and that she loves Beyoncé. She added that she's always been touched that Beyoncé and her mother are fans of hers. Beyoncé has not revealed the track list yet for her album that's set to drop on March 29th. The top prize of Hollywood's biggest night goes to Oppenheimer. The atomic bomb drama won Best Picture at the 2024 Academy Awards. Al Pacino presented the award. Oppenheimer led the pack with 13 nominations, winning 7 Oscars. The film swept the major categories Sunday night, also picking up awards for Best Actor, Best Director, and Best Supporting Actor. At the Academy Awards, Emma Stone also won Best Actress. Stone brought home the award for her work in Poor Things. This is Stone's second Best Actress Oscar and has been nominated 4 times. Her first win was in 2017 for La La Land. Billie Eilish took home more than 2 Oscar awards on Sunday night. Flavor Flav arrived at the awards ceremony wearing a large Barbie-themed clock chain, and he brought a duplicate for Eilish. The rapper met Eilish at the Vanity Fair after party to gift the piece of jewelry to her personally. The hot pink diamond chain is engraved with her name in the classic Mattel Barbie doll font. A limited series starring Jason Bateman and Jude Law has been greenlit by Netflix. The two actors will play brothers in the drama Black Rabbit, which has been in the works since October 2022. The show will follow the owner of a New York City hotspot who opens the door to escalating dangers when he lets his brother back in his life, according to the series' logline. This will be Bateman's first series since Ozark had wrapped up in 2022. Law is known for films like The Talented Mr. Ripley and will lead in Skeleton Crew, an upcoming Star Wars series. I'm Aiden Doherty, and that was your entertainment news.
And that wraps up this week's edition of The Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM. For the Rowan Radio News Team, I'm Allie Bruce. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Rowan Report, exclusively here on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.